This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tech Talk, and it's time for Geek Squawk. Frida Liu here together with Jeff Sandu and Matt Amtish from CulturePop.com.
Yeah, another AI story to start the year. This time around, it's AI being used to predict when patients with a heart disorder will die, according to scientists. The AI software learned to analyze blood tests and scans of beating hearts on to spot signs that, you know, the organ was about to fail. The team is from the UK's Medical Research Council, and they said that the technology could save lives by finding patients that need more aggressive treatment. So basically, you know, high blood pressure in the lungs damages part of the heart, and about a third of the patients who pass away after 5 years of being diagnosed. And treatments are, you know, the usual drugs or injections straight to the blood vessels and or a lung transplant. But doctors, they need to have an idea of how long the patients might have left in order for them to sort of pick the right treatment. And this is where machine learning or AI comes into play. The software was given an MRI scans of 256 patients with heart and blood test results, and it measured the movement of 30,000 different points in the organ structure during each heartbeat. And when this data was combined with the 8 years of the patient's health records, the AI then learned which abnormalities predicted when the patients would die. So the software could actually look about 5 years into the future, and the team now wants to test this software in other patients in different hospitals before sort of assessing whether it should be made widely available to other doctors. And they want to use this also, this technology, in forms of other heart failures, especially for like those who require a pacemaker. And it's just really cool that for them to be using AI to now predict as well what kind of treatment you need, because you only have this amount of time left.
Again, I mean, if you remember back to when you were a kid, and if you ever went with your parents to have your car fixed, you'd go to the mechanics workshop, and it was this filthy place, and it was full of stuff stacked all over the place. And, you know, you'd watch the mechanics at work, and very often they'd probably be using a hammer to, you know, sort of whack things back into shape or to make sure the part fit correctly. And that's kind of how we've been with medicine for, you know, the last 100 years. Now when you take your car, the workshop is completely clean. Yeah. They plug a computer into your car and say, that's what the problem is. And that's the kind of situation I think we're moving to with a lot of this technology as well. Machines that can better predict what's going to happen with us than the human doctors can.
Yeah, so AI is saving mankind yet again, but they could also be the killer for mankind, right? Anyways, now we don't realize this, but, you know, among all of our senses, voice is something that we use a lot, and it actually plays a very important role in technology, because, you know, we use our voice to speak, sing, shout, whisper, but we also use it to communicate with AI or future technology, right? A lot of voice is, you know, hugely important for the future, because, you know, even in CES, Alexa was everywhere, and that actually requires it's an AI that requires voice activation. And now researchers believe that your voice could also reveal whether we're getting ill or not. Right. I could have used this, you know, a week ago, because I'm not too well
today. I can tell.
Yeah. So a US
and your AI.
Yeah. So a US startup called Canary Speech is developing a way of analyzing conversations using machine learning to test a number of neurological and cognitive diseases, ranging from Parkinson's to dementia. Now, the project was born out of a very painful experience for the firm's co-founder, Henry O'Connell. He has a friend of nearly 30 years who's been diagnosed 6 years ago with Parkinson's disease. And when he was finally diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, it was said that he'd been suffering for Parkinson's over 10 years. And with, you know, so many diseases, early diagnosis, they play a very crucial role in effectively managing the condition. But the recent research highlights the difficulties in correctly diagnosing it. And doctors often struggle to distinguish the symptoms. And the longer it goes untreated, the more severe it gets. So Canary Speech developed an algorithm after examining the speech patterns of patients with a particular condition, such as Alzheimer's or dementia and Parkinson's. And this enables them to spot a number of telltale signs, both pre- and post-diagnosis, including the kinds of, you know, the words that are used, their phrasing, and the overall quality of the speech. So for example, one symptom of the disease is the softening of your own voice, and something that could easily be overlooked by, you know, the ones who are close to us. But Canary speech software is capable of picking up such small changes in your speech pattern. And what's cool is that the co-founder of this company, Jeff Adams, he was actually the previous chief executive officer at Yap, which is a company that got bought over by Amazon, who then used the technology for Alexa in Amazon Echo. And the overall goal is obviously to be able to spot the onset of these conditions sooner. So as soon as you speak to your doctor will immediately know what is wrong with you. And there we go, again, Matt's, you know, example of, you know, mechanic.
Yeah, exactly. No. I mean, it comes back to the same thing, because the technology can gather data over a much longer period of time. And when you make an appointment to go and see a specialist, you know, you take a day off work. It takes you an hour to register. You wait around for an hour or 2 hours for the specialist, but you actually see the specialist probably only for about 90 seconds. And they make all kinds of assumptions about your health based on that very, very quick time frame. Whereas what we're talking about here is software that can actually analyze you on a day-to-day basis, can see the differences in the patterns over weeks, months, years, and can actually recommend the course of action. So, I think it is a very kind of interesting area we're moving into.
No, I think it's time for King of the Crowd, man.
Yes, it is. Mr. Bigly Mac gets inaugurated today. So I thought today's King of the Crowd should be part of my Make 2017 Great Again campaign.
Nice.
So I'm stretching the definition of crowdfunding a little to bring you these. This was actually a successful campaign from last year. And the company behind the sunglasses we're talking about has since moved on to sell them directly from their own website. And no, they aren't the Jujanta 200 super chromatic peril sensitive sunglasses worn by Zaphod Beeblebrox. These are TENS sunglasses that bring the concept of an Instagram filter to your eyes.
Okay. I actually have one of those.
Oh, you do?
I do have,
They're
really good.
Really
good sunglasses. They're at home.
Okay.
I'll bring them over.
Okay. Basically, they were designed by a team of photographers and filmmakers. They wanted to give the real world a bit of a boost so that when you put the sunglasses on, everything suddenly becomes awesome.
Rose-tinted glasses.
Rose-tinted glasses. You put them on and everything becomes fantastic. Richard Branson agreed, so he's sunk some of his own money into the company simply after trying on a pair of the glasses. They've now expanded from a single frame to a whole range, but again, they all feature that signature zing lens. So if your life needs a bit more zing, mine does, head over to tenslife.com. That's TENSLIFE, tenslife.com. Where the glasses are ready to ship, and prices start at $60 US a pair.
I can give you a review of it. It's actually really good. Like, I really like the glasses. I can tell why Richard Branson said yes immediately after putting it on.
Yeah, I've only seen the video, but it does seem to be. It's like, you know, everything suddenly comes alive, and it's not so much rosy. It's just like when you put that Instagram filter on, and that picture that's a little bit boring suddenly becomes, oh wow!
And an ugly girl looks beautiful.
Well, possibly, yes, but certainly the scenery around her does.
The one thing that I like about TENS is that at the side of the frame, the inside of the frame, it has the slogan which goes 10 times better. And I like it. And it does actually have a lot of difference. But it makes a lot of difference when you're in a place that, you know, you're on the beach or so forth. When you I don't keep it in my car because, you know, in KL it's hot already, and the lens has a slightly reddish hue to it. So it's, you know, sunglasses, you either have a green, blue, or a red. So this is more towards the red. So it's a bit more heaty.
There's a reason for that, actually. Sorry, I know I'm digressing, but I was talking to my optician, and in Europe, people mainly go for brown and orange tint.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
And in Asia, they go for the green and grey.
You want
the
cool
something
feel.
To do with the pigment in the eyes of Europeans versus Asians.
Yeah, so it works well if you're going for the beach. Anyways, Geek Tunes. But before that, we just need to address one real problem here. There's a report that came out. Most common passwords of 2016. The first 10 is just a whole bunch of numbers mixed together. The first one, the most common password of 2016 is 123456.
Okay.
And then it just has a variety of all those kind of stuff all the way till. And then Google as the password, as the most common password of 2016, jeez, comes in 12 places.
But I don't get QWERTY UIOP.
Oh, that's because just the full keyboard.
That's the keyboard.
Oh. They're trying to be creative, you see? Anyways, Geek Tunes. This is DXX with a new track of theirs from the new album. This is DXX with Lips, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.